Hi, and welcome to Detox, Talks the Detox, a podcast where we talk to some of the world's finest leaders about their detox rituals and how they maintain continuity in a world of noise and chaos. How they make sure that the criticism that the world puts on them doesn't affect their insight and they still continue to perform as well as they do. Thanks for tuning in. This is Kunal Sundiramani, and you are listening to Detox, Talks the Detox.
We have Amit Kumar on the podcast. Amit is the CEO of NoBroker.com, which he founded back in 2014. NoBroker is the largest property tech platform in India. Thank you so much for making time. It's a privilege to host you.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Amit, you've had an amazing journey. So before getting right in, I'd love to know your journey from you.
Yeah, so I think when we started on a very basic concept that why can't owner, tenant and buyer and seller interact directly with each other? Why do we need a broker asking for such a huge amount of brokerage in between? And I remember that when we went for fundraising, nobody was ready to give us funds because everybody believed that if it is not big in US or China, or if it is not inspired from US and China, then how can the idea be really strong? I think we basically used the basic hypothesis that this is a customer problem, might be unique to India, might not be, but we are going to attack the problem because we as Indian consumers face it. And then the 7 years followed. So I'm basically an engineer from IIT Kanpur and MBA from IIM Ahmedabad. And I basically worked in management consulting for almost a decade. Management consulting is a slightly tough job in terms of travel and change of locations, but somehow I loved the challenge. And afterwards, I was heading strategy with ANZ Bank, Auckland, New Zealand Bank.
When you were taking a change from heading strategy at a comparatively well-known, well-settled position and at a very influential place, what was the change like? And especially as early as 2013. And while taking the change, I think very often when you're taking a change that you're very confident about, you know it's going to work. But everyone else is super, especially in India, super excited and super motivated to doubt. So when in the midst of all that noise, and how were you able to keep yourself strong enough and just go in for the change? What was the part of detoxing from the everything that was coming from other places around you?
See, the truth is that in startup, you can never be sure about your idea because you do not have enough data points to be actually sure. And many of the things are supposed to unravel, and the competitive landscape and the reaction of the competition to what you are doing is something which is yet to come. And how well you are going to execute is also something to be seen. So I would say that from a very, very comfortable job, so ANZ Bank was a very comfortable job, foreign bank paying really well, work-life balance was very good. From that, leaving that in mid-30s, and basically my batchmate from IIT Kanpur, and we were expecting our kid. And at that point of time, leaving job basically meant that she had to join the work back because somebody had to earn. So that way, it was perhaps the worst time to leave job and take this risk. And no matter what you say, a journey of a founder is filled with anxiousness, insecurity, and doubts. Of course, the entire period is mixed with happiness and acceleration of small successes which come from a customer side. But there are so many external factors and which are outside your control that the journey is surely difficult.
What would you say was the most memorable and the most portion of the journey that you really hold close to, like the best story, that's your favorite dinner time conversation?
I would say that the best story that we have had was the attack of the brokers on No Broker company office. So one day some 50-60 brokers came and they attacked the No Broker office. They wanted to break computers. They wanted to scare employees. They wanted to beat employees. And then we had to call police, but we didn't get much support from the police either because they were much more in support with the local guys, the local brokers. And we had to almost overnight vacate the office. While we were vacating the office in the night also, the vehicle which was carrying all the goods was chased by brokers to know as to what is our next location. Then we had to shift to two temporary offices. A lot of customer facing services were disrupted. And then after a couple of months, we could finally shift to a proper office, which had security. And for a long, long time, we kept on giving wrong Google address of our office to ensure that we do not face this broker issue again.
That is a hilarious story. So when you were going through that, how do you get to know about when the first attack happened?
First reaction was that of a disbelief, right? Because you would not think that in a city like Bangalore, which is such a startup friendly city, it's very difficult to believe that such a thing will happen. So first was disbelief. And second was really surprise over how the police also reacted. And third was that when one of our investors, which is Teruhait Sato from BNext, he came and he saw that we were sitting in a temporary office which had broken chairs, smelly bathroom, and rats going all around, very, very cramped office where people used to take the LAN cord in the night because they were not sure the next day morning they will get the LAN cord to attach their computer to. At such an office, he came, he saw, and he said, "This is going to be good for your team." And we were like, "How can this be good for our team? This is horrible for our team." But actually, he was right. As time passed, we realized that this entire attack and thing basically made the team extremely strong in terms of believing that whatever we are doing has some real value. It is just not another company where they're coming and money is being paid and they're doing a job. They are actually doing something which means well for the society. Huge number of customers came on social media and basically supported us. So yeah, in the hindsight, it did make the team stronger.
I think this goes in like the top 5 to 10 stories we've heard on the podcast. So whenever, even today, whether a minor change or a major change, any change you're taking, what's your process of evaluating it to make sure, and especially when there's a change that can actually impact multiple areas, similar to a change when you started No Broker, and when in the change, what's your process of keeping yourself focused and not letting the weight of the change affect the quality of the decision?
So that's a fabulous question. And I would say that before I started No Broker with my friends, I had the luxury, in fact, you can call it a luxury, to be perturbed by anything which is unfavorable, which happens to your life. You are planning for something X, something Y happens, and you are sad about it. You either don't get a promotion, you don't get a good assignment, things don't work your way, and you are sad about it. And you have a lot of time to basically wallow in the self-pity and then come out of it. But when you are running a startup, the time to react is very small. That right now, if I just get a call saying that the office building has burnt out, nobody's hurt, but the building has burnt out. So I think I will only take 5 minutes to say, okay, ab kya karna hai? What is the next step? Because the entire journey from emotional reaction to a analytical based reaction, that journey has to be very small because you just don't have time to basically worry about it, be in self-pity. So similarly, when I left my job and started No Broker, of course, there was a huge number of uncertainties in terms of investor commitment, funding, whether other competitors will do the same thing that we are doing. So whenever faced with a problem, I think two things work. One is having a support system, family, which basically trusts you, helps you, supports you morally, emotionally, when those times are tough. And second is try to be extremely rational as quickly as you can. That's what I think I have learned over these years.
That's incredible. So like, especially how you describe it sounds like two different lives.
Yeah.
So what was the transition actually from the first one to the second one? The transition in context of the learning process for you?
I think the biggest psychological issue which comes when you start a company is that you suddenly realize that although you are in the company and many things are in your control, lots of things are not in your control. How will the customers react? Will you, when you make a change, will the customers accept it? Will the customer reject it? Many a times you come up with a great marketing campaign and it just doesn't produce any result. So I think what has happened in the startup journey is that the way in which they say in cricket, right, that control the controllables. So what we've realized is that just focus on your input metrics to the best of your ability. That is all that is in our hand. Investors are saying no to you, meet more of them, figure out which are the things that they are disliking and can you really attack them head on. If you are not able to attract good talent, then figure out the talent which you can, or what should be your pitch to attract that talent. If any initiative of yours is not working, try to cut the data and actually get into depth as to what might be possible reasons. So despite all doing all of those things, even today, many things just don't work. But what we have realized is that if you try enough roots, if you basically put enough seeds, many of them will grow into big trees. Which ones that you can't predict exactly upfront?
It's like, yeah, having your eggs in multiple baskets.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, and just sending them to different places.
Correct.
So what would you say was the most significant roadblock that you faced till date?
From the customer perspective, we never faced any problem in terms of non-acceptance. From customers loved avoiding brokers, saving brokerage. From the perspective of monetization, we started monetization early. We ensured that we are not only just in real estate. We expanded to painting, cleaning, packers, movers, home services, home interiors. In financial services, we started home loans, insurance, rent payment. So I think from a customer perspective, thankfully, we got good reaction. It might have taken some time in some of the initiatives, but it has worked. I think the problem that we faced was from the investors in terms of attracting new investors and new funding, because real estate and prop tech has been extremely competitive. And unfortunately, before us, there has never been a unicorn in prop tech. We are the only prop tech unicorn. And hence, there was some general disbelief whether there is some problem in real estate or whether all the players who came before us just didn't get it right. So investors were puzzled as to why. See, roti, kapra, makan is traditionally the largest industries in any country. So I think a lot of investor drought we have seen, funding drought we have seen. After our Series A funding, it was difficult to raise any money from India. We used the help of Teru from BNext and raised some money from Singapore, South Korea, Japan, individual investors, whatever we could. So initially, 4 or 5 years were pretty tough from the funding point. Because that, I would say, has been the tough part in the initial years.
On the personal side, on the personal front, there's a lot of self-talk that keeps going on in the back of the head when rough times don't seem to end. So especially given that it went on for 4 or 5 years. So when it was a rough time, how were you able to keep yourself detoxed from the negativities that come in when times start to get rough on a personal basis, keeping yourself detoxed from all the negativity that comes in when things just don't seem to be going as you planned?
Good question. So what I've now realized is that a founder's journey is very lonely, and you can only share it with your co-founders. You can't share your insecurities, worries with your teams, because they are looking up to you. If you get motivated, then it will significantly impact their motivation. So in the initial years, there have been many instances where we felt that will we run out of money, or how do we produce more numbers given the money that we have. And I think two things have basically helped. One is talking to my co-founders, sharing with each other. So communicating with each other, sharing with each other, sharing our worries, brainstorming together as to what is it that we can do. Family is another, I would say, even more important facet, because your spouse is someone who is around you always. And if your spouse doesn't support you, especially in those moments of doubts and fear and insecurity, then I think it's game over. because he or she knows the details very, very specifically. He or she knows much more about you. Thankfully, there's a huge support from my wife, Priyanka. And in our mind, we also thought as to what is the worst case. Worst case is that, okay, you wrap everything up and you again pursue a job. Not a great option, but not a very bad option either, right? It's given IIT, IIM degree, thankfully, you can always get a job. So I would say that from the emotional side, family, co-founders, their conversations, thinking about the worst case scenario and in your mind being okay with it, not be too scared about it. And the third thing is basically rationally, just a third or fourth thing is rationally attack the problem. Whatever you can do analytically, rationally, whatever is the best path forward, do that. Meet lots of investors, showcase your numbers, grow the number that people are asking to be seen. I think these combination of three, four things is what I could do. But it would be incorrect for me to say that the journey becomes easier. It doesn't. So much like a video game. you think level one is difficult. And once you cross level one, level two is different. But it is also difficult. And then level three. So I think, but yes, the more levels you cross, the more is the self-confidence that you can crack it.
So which was the most exciting level?
I think the most exciting level has been past few years where we have seen the numbers grow like crazy. And most importantly, where we have seen lots of talented people joining NoBroker. Yeah, of course, my leadership style is to give huge amount of independence and accountability and never micromanage. So that's my particular style. And because of that style, we were able to attract some very, very good people who act like entrepreneurs within NoBroker. And now it is them whom I see and who motivate me. So now there's a reverse motivation. I basically look at what their vision is, what their hunger is. And it is amazing to see how hungry they are to grow business, how good they think about NoBroker, how many of them fight with me over many business issues. So I think the last few years in which we have been blessed with amazing entrepreneurs within NoBroker and seeing their journey and enjoying their dreams and their hunger has been amazing.
That's amazing. So just something that came up when you had the attack at your office, it just sounds like I'm now in the middle of some strategy war that we're discussing two centuries ago. So when you guys actually got a literal attack, how was it the culture-wise maintaining everyone's motivation the first very time that happened?
Yeah, so actually it seems very ancient, the way in which it happened. And you never imagine that such thing will happen. I had heard about this type of problem being faced by drivers of the surface transportation companies when they were launched a few years back. So with that, I had heard. But apart from that, I have rarely heard basically people attacking companies. So it was odd. And the reaction to some extent was different. And I'll tell you how. So the way in which we took was, hey, this is a big problem. What to do? Protect our employees. Safety is very important. Okay, now safety is done. Let's now try to find another office. So this is what is going in our mind. And we are then basically frantically searching and trying to find another office. That's what's going in our mind. On the contrary, what is going in common employees' mind, especially the junior one, is will the company shut down? Are we not going to have a job? And when they told me later, many months later, I was like, why? Why did you think about that? Why did you think that we'll close the company just because of one attack? Can't we find another office? But in their mind, the questions were like this. So even, the only solution was constant communication. So we have had this amazing culture of town halls and immediately answering all questions. So today, earlier the team was small, but today I answer lots of anonymous questions and I encourage insulting, blunt questions because it's my job to answer those questions. And I think so, even small things like if the office location has changed, then it basically disrupts the entire way in which somebody takes a bus and lands at the office. That entire chain of buses, also that system of bus also breaks down. So from the customer facing people who are at the lower end of the salaries, any disruption like this is a huge change and huge inconvenience in their personal lives. That filled with anxiety whether the office company will continue or not. You can imagine the stress that they would have come in, which I did not realize fully. Thing which I did was that we had conversation every day. Whenever I was in office, when I was searching office, whenever I went to the temporary office, I basically spoke about all the questions that they had. Don't worry, we are finding a new office, etc., etc. So I think communication is basically the key so that people can ask you anything that they have in their mind and you can get rid of things which seem irrational to you, but very rational to others.
So through your personal life, before No Broker, any main lessons, even your childhood, at any point, any lessons you learned that today when you come across at a situation that you just have like that, a flashback, and that same lesson is of as much use today as it was 10 years back?
5 years back, 6 years, when I started No Broker, I must admit that at that point of time, I used to think that I can do most of the things, which seems very stupid today. But I used to feel that I am from good colleges, IIT and IIM, and V3 co-founders are there. And why do we need some senior people? I'm going to hire lots of people who can make customer phone calls and I can manage them. And I think the lesson, thankfully, which I learned very quickly within 6 months to 1 year, opening office, is that this is untrue. There's very little that I can do alone. And if you want to make a company really large, then you need to have amazing people around you who are equal or better than you. At least on some faces, they should be surely better than you. That is the only way you can make a large company. If you micromanage, if you try to have a decision on every small thing, if you want to approve every screen, every small business decision, then it is going to be suffocating for the business. It might feel important. It might make you feel important because everybody is going to chase you. Remember, in the initial few months, people were all around because everybody will ask me, Amit, what to do for this, what to do for that. And you as an individual feel good that, okay, I'm adding value. People are asking me lots of questions. I'm solving lots of... I think that's a lesson which I learned early. And today also, same lesson gets repeated, which is to basically attract amazing people. And for example, I must tell you that we have home interior business. And when we started 1.5 years back, I was not very confident whether do we have the ability, can we develop the ability to do something as complex as home interiors. But I'm amazed by the people who joined the team. And once I gave them full flexibility, independence, they came up with what software to use, which designers to hire, how to execute projects, how to have partnership, everything. In fact, I have very little idea. And now we are going to open our first experience center. And it's amazing. So I think this is a lesson which gets repeated every few years, that don't micromanage, allow a huge amount of independence. And that is the secret to making a large company.
Yeah, I think lessons just keep on repeating until you learn them. One thing I think all startups face, something we face so much with K-Sta and even with Detox, and I think every founder who I've known has faced, and especially at the level No Broker's grown, I think the highs and the lows just keep getting deeper and higher. The higher the highs get, the lower the lows get. So how do you maintain a constant pace when it's high and low?
To be frank, you do get swept in the highs and lows even now. So that is true. It is not that when we achieve a big goal, it is not that we don't feel huge surge of emotions. We do. But yes, because we have seen lots of ups and downs. So the way in which you make a sine curve, right, and you say the amplitude is higher or lower, that amplitude has become smaller than before, which basically means the reaction of too much happiness and too much sadness have reduced. So now there's happiness and there's sadness, but not that too much, because that's what 5-7 years of running a business teach you. Every day there is some good thing, then next day there's some problem. So I think that over years, it conditions you that.
So, and what about the frequency? That has definitely increased.
Yeah. So you are right. So frequency has increased, but because the amplitude has smaller. So I think that had to happen because of such a high frequency, you can't afford to have high amplitude. So when lots of good and bad things are happening so frequently, you can't be too happy or too sad. you're basically, I think system adjusts to that.
That's really awesome. I love the analogy of the highs and lows. So we spoke about the roughest period. What was the happiest period?
I think the happiest period, when you run a startup, there is always a feeling, I often say, there's always a feeling of frustration at the top. Something is, every day something is not working. Something is not there. We are not yet there. Something is wrong. Somebody did not do what they were supposed to do. But I would say at the rock bottom, every day, there is a huge sense of happiness and satisfaction of what you are building and how it is shaping up. So I would say that there are just some moments and spurts of happiness when you suddenly realize the number that you've achieved, the size that you've achieved, anything which basically, even sometimes a complete stranger telling you how No Broker has made their life better and saved them lots of money. has a very, very positive impact. So I would say 7 year journey dotted with these spurts of happiness, which come at random intervals, when you realize that whatever you are doing is actually becoming bigger, is creating a big impact, and extremely hopeful about the future.
So from the health and well perspective, today, if you get a call that something's happened, so in those 5 minutes before you come up with the analytical perspective, what is that 5 minute self-talk that happens inside your head?
I think the reaction happens exactly same, but it happens in much more crunched manner. The first is basically the way in which those 7 stages go, right? That first is you being upset, then you accept it, and then you think of the solution. So I think those multiple thoughts anyway come across, but they don't take days, they don't take too much time, and you quickly basically move from absorbing a bad news, processing it, and then thinking about the solution and moving towards it. And what we've seen is that, I think it's pretty commonsensical also, you will also agree that the moment you start thinking about solution, then you start feeling a little better. The solution might not be perfect, the solution might not have played out already, but the faster the mind moves towards solution, the better it is, I would say, for the emotional well-being. Because then you are not just worrying about what has happened, you are at least moving into something which is positive, even if it is uncertain. So I think, yeah.
I think certainty becomes fiction after a certain point. Nothing is certain beyond a certain point.
True, true. Overall, I would say that for the people who are listening, of course, the journey of a founder is tough, and only few out of, I would say, 100 founders, I think, 70, 80 struggle, only 10, 20 basically are able to move to the next stage. So it's a difficult profession to take. But I would say there is nothing more satisfying than building something, seeing it grow, helping customers. So that basically gives a huge amount of happiness. For many people who want to start their company, I would say, please be emotionally and mentally ready. Do not hear interviews of people like me and basically feel that, okay, there is some shortcut and it's going to be fine. It's going to be difficult. So it's difficult to basically detail out everything. But what I'm trying to say is, if you have come for the right reason, if you have come mentally prepared that, hey, I am going to give 1 year, I'm going to give 2 years to this, and in these 2 years, I'm not going to question myself every day. I'm going to put my best. Of course, many things will be out of my control, but this is my timeline and this is my plan B. So I'm a big proponent of plan B. Plan B gives you comfort for pursuing plan A. It lowers your anxiety level. So my message to my fellow founders would be, if you want to start something of your own, please do. This is a time for India when great startups are coming in. There's a wave of startups, extremely good valuations, consumer behavior is changing. People are much, much more digital friendly than what they were 5 years. It's a great time to be in. But the topic of mentally being ready, emotionally being, I would say, solid about running something of your own remains to be important. And hence, you need to surround yourself possibly with co-founders and with a supportive family, and be in their context, be around them, so that all the ups and downs you can handle much, much better.
No, that's very well said. So for someone who's listening and is getting started, from the first time you had to fight a fire, which is literally and metaphorically in your case, but for someone who's facing their first fire as a founder, first big challenge they need to deal with, what would you say would be a couple of things they can keep themselves detoxed mentally from when doing that?
I would say it's extremely important to have two things. One, have a support system. And second, have alternate hobbies in life. So being totally obsessed about a startup and not having any life is going to make it more difficult. If you like some sport, pursue that sport. If you like traveling, pursue that traveling. Don't make a startup everything and anything, because then you are yourself limiting your outlets for relief, for change. So my suggestion would be two. surround yourself with support system with whom you can share whatever troubles you are facing. And second, continue to explore, invest, and develop your hobbies which were there. Don't leave them. You used to meet friends, continue to meet them. You used to go for vacations, perhaps shorter now, but go for vacation. Pursue a hobby, pursue a sport. I think that basically makes it much more balanced.
100%. I think to mentally detox, while firefighting is more important than most people ever give it the value to, couldn't agree more. The final portion, the rapid fire round, 10 questions, answer them in the least possible time.
Okay.
If you could put a billboard, what would you put on the billboard?
Growth.
You wake up in 2050, you sleep today, and tomorrow when you wake up, it's 2050, time has just passed, and what is the first thing you do?
I will quickly check what my family is, how grown up my family is. I will look whether there are still remnants of the company that I started. And third, I will look at the stock market, how where it has become now.
One thing you're a fan of?
Sportsman.
Your favorite movie?
So my favorite movie is Forrest Gump.
Your favorite actor?
Will Smith.
Your favorite sports person?
Maria Sharapova.
Your favorite sport?
Squash.
Your favorite squash player?
Saurabh Ghoshal.
Your favorite moment in your journey, personally throughout your life?
Getting into IIM Ahmedabad.
Your least favorite moment?
Thankfully, nothing.
Your favorite destination?
Hills.
If you could take one flight and you had to stay at that place until further notice, what place would that be?
Switzerland.
If there could be only one person with you there, who would that be?
My wife.
Your favorite book?
Reluctant Billionaire.
Your favorite artist?
I would say Aamir Khan.
Where can people find you in real life?
Office.
Your second favorite artist?
Lata Mangeshkar.
Thanks, Atan. This was so much fun. Thank you for making time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was good fun.
You just heard an episode on the Detox Podcast. Do not forget to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, whether it is Spotify or iTunes. We